again with another message in the book of John. We're in John chapter 3, a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Have your Bible ready if you possibly can. John chapter 3, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, why is Nicodemus there? We're going to look at this, and we're going to try and figure out what the Lord would have us learn from this portion of Scripture. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. But before we do look at it, listen to this message and song, it is well with my soul. It wasn't well with Nicodemus' soul, that's one thing for sure. Is it well with your soul?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever thy lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trunk shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is
I remember when I was a little boy, about 6, maybe 7 years old, I was sitting on a bench outside of a barber shop in a little town. Well, it was a little town at that time called Ajax, Ontario. It's not little anymore. But as I was sitting there, a lady came up to me and she invited me to come to the Sunday school that was right across the road. So it was a Saturday and I said, okay, I came the next day and we just lived a short distance from there. And my mom said, yeah, you can go. And so I went, and they talked about the soul. I remember it. I came home, and I asked my mother, what is a soul? And, of course, she was not saved at that time. She was saved later, the same time that I was, when I was 12 years old. So it was probably 6 or 8 years later when she was saved. But she didn't know. She couldn't give me an answer. And I thought your soul was something like your kidney or your liver. You had this little thing. And then I started, you know, hearing songs like the one we just sang, that it is well with my soul, or we sing a lot of songs about the soul. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, and all that thrills my soul is Jesus, and set my soul afire. We see all kinds of Christians and all different stripes of Christians singing about their soul. And sometimes they sing it like you just heard it, which is the way it should be sung. Other times they got the drums in the background and they're rocking and rolling and talking about it being well with their soul. What are we talking about when we're talking about the soul? The New Testament verses, there's all kinds of them. Matthew 11:29 says that you can find rest for your soul. Hebrews 13:17 says they, referring to pastors, watch for your souls. Luke 21:12, in patience possess ye your souls. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our souls. He said we imparted our souls. In patience possess your souls. As pastors they watch for your souls. Jesus says find rest for your soul. Well, I know how to find rest for my body. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 12:12, much study is a weariness of the flesh. And I know about that. I get up 4 o'clock in the morning every morning and study the Bible. I've done that for many years and I enjoy doing it. But my flesh gets tired, and usually by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm ready to have a power nap. But how do I find rest for my soul? I know that how to find rest for the flesh, rest for the body, but what about the soul? Well, we've said many times we're a three-part being. God said, let us make man in our image. He is a Trinity, and so are we. We are a body, we are a soul, and we are a spirit. Now, the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And songs that are sung, or whenever the Lord talks to us from the Word of God, or when somebody preaches to us, what we want is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to speak to our spirit, which in turn will dictate what's going on in our soul, our self, life in our mind, in our will, and in our emotions. And so when you get all the beating and the drums going and somebody jumping around and sucking on the microphone and singing it as well with my soul, that's nothing to do with the Spirit of God. That has something to do with the emotion that is brought out by the beat of the drums and all of that other stuff. So when we're talking about our souls, it's interesting that all of the verses that I mentioned here is referring to Christians. All of the songs that I mentioned here, He hideth my soul. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Set my soul afire. This is Christians. And in James 1:21, it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, he's speaking to Christians. He's writing. Look at the book of James. He's writing to Christians. And he's talking about Christians having their souls saved. Well, their spirit's already been saved if they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If they just made a decision in the moment of the emotion, then they're not saved at all. And that happens a lot. But we look today and we see all kinds of people in cults, and we see all kinds of Catholics and all kinds of different religions that are giving their lives for their religion. If that's all we're doing, it doesn't necessarily mean to say we're saved any more than anybody else is saved. If we're saved, it means the Holy Spirit has spoken to our spirit, and in our spirit dictates to our mind, our will, and our emotions as to whether or not we will receive Jesus Christ and repent of our sin. We repent at that point or we reject at that point. But then as Christians, over and over again, it talks to us about, well, let me read the verse again in James 1:21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, your mind, your will, and your emotions. 1 Peter 1:22, put it this way, ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Acts 14:22 talked about them going on their missionary journeys to confirm the souls of the disciples. Acts 15:24 talks, watch out for those who would subvert your souls. Well, Nicodemus, he was a lost soul. So whether as Christians we have a mind, a will, and emotions, and people who are unsaved have a mind, a will, and emotions. Now, we talk about soul winning, and that's a big mistake. was soul winning, if we're going to use that term, it's talking about Christians being having their mind, their will, and their emotions under the control of the Holy Spirit. When it talks about an unsaved person, we don't want to win their souls. That's just the mind, the will, and their emotions. What has to happen is the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness with our spirit. Today we've come up with an incentive salvation. We say, now, if I can show you from the Bible that you go to heaven when you die, will you do what it says? And, oh, of course. Well, there's no incentive salvation in the Bible. The reason we get saved is not so we can go to heaven. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God, and it glorifies God when we get saved. That's the reason to get saved. If there was no heaven, and there is, but if there was no heaven, we still need to repent and ask God to forgive us of our sins. Heaven's just a tremendous byproduct of trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior, but it should not be an incentive. The incentive is the conviction of the Holy Spirit on our spirit. Our spirit dictates to our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. We make a decision there in our mind whether or not we're going to get saved or not. If we're going to get saved, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Well, in our story, Nicodemus is a lost soul. Let's read it again. There was, number one, a man. Number two, of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus. Number three, he was a ruler of the Jews. Number four, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. Number five, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles, number six, that thou doest, except God be with him. Now, the first thing we read about this man is he was a man. There was a man. Now, everything we study in the Word of God, we need to study within the context of what it is presented. The context is the circumstances that form the setting for an event, a statement, or an idea, and in terms of which it can be fully understood. Now, in order to understand what's happening here, or any portion of Scripture, we need to look at the context. In order to get the context, we need to go back to the last few verses of the last chapter. In chapter 2, in verse number 24, 25, we have the context. It says, Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now, in John chapter 3, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, the context here is talking about man. But also the context, if you remember in a previous program, what has happened was Jesus has just gone through the temple with a whip and chased them all out and chased out the animals and said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves. And so now right after this is when Nicodemus comes. The Bible says, number two, he is of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. Now, ruler of the Jews was in charge of the synagogue. That phrase is only found here in this verse, but a ruler of the synagogue is found six times, and chief ruler of the synagogue is found one time, and it's very likely that he's one of the chief rulers in the synagogue. Well, it also says he was a Pharisee. Now, of the Pharisees, that phrase is found in the Word of God 24 times in the New Testament. How did John the Baptist look at these Pharisees? Well, in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 7, and in Luke chapter 3, in verse number 7, John the Baptist called them a generation of vipers. Oh, is that nice? How did Jesus look at these Pharisees? Well, in Matthew chapter 12, and verse 34, and in Matthew 23, and verse 33, Jesus also called them a generation of vipers. By the way, both of those men were speaking to the Pharisees when they said that. Jesus said to his disciples, beware of the Pharisees, five times, and twice he said, take heed and beware. The third thing we see is Nicodemus came by night. Now, he's only mentioned three times in the Word of God. John chapter 3 and verse 2, he came by night. In John 7 and 50, it refers to Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. And in John chapter 19 and 39, again, it mentions Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. Why did he come at night? Well, I think he came at night because he didn't want anybody to see him coming. And I think the rest of the Pharisees didn't want anybody to see him coming either, and they sent him to go there and find out what Jesus was up to, see if they could get something on him. I was talking to a bunch of young people one time, and they're just maybe children around 8, 9, 10 years old, and I said, I think that Nicodemus went at night because he didn't want anybody to see him. One kid said, well, maybe he had to work. Another kid said, well, he could have gone on his lunch hour. Well, Nicodemus gives himself away in the next statement he makes. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Now, the word we here indicates his lack of genuine interest concerning salvation. We know. He's been sent by the Pharisees back there to find out what is going on. If he wanted to trust the Lord as his Savior, he would say, I need to know about this eternal life thing. Well, Matthew 22 and verse number 16, they came to Jesus another time and said, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Now, if someone came to us and said that as preachers, we'd say, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your insight. And why don't you just come and join our church here and we'll all live happily ever after serving the Lord. Jesus didn't do that. Let me read the verse again. Master, we know that thou art a teacher and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. And then in the next verse it says, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Jesus knew who he was talking to. In Matthew 23:13, he said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Verse 16, woe unto you, blind guides, ye fools and blind, he said in verse 17, verse 19, verse 23, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. 24, ye blind guides, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. In verse 25, verse 26, thou blind Pharisee, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. In 27, verse 29, woe unto you, scribes, and Pharisees, and hypocrites. In verse 33, he said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? That's how Jesus dealt with these religious hypocrites. Very much unlike Billy Graham, who in the Chicago Tribune in June the 8th of 1963 said, I admire the Pope John tremendously. I felt that he brought a new era to the world. In the Saturday Evening Post, January of 1980, he said Pope John Paul II is one of the greatest moral and spiritual leaders of this century. He is an evangelist. Billy Graham was the most influential apostate that ever walked the face of this earth in modern days. Well, also, we read of Nicodemus in verse number 2. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. These miracles, now in John 2 and 23, it says, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he did. And as we said, they are going to just reject the message, but they sure like the miracles. In John chapter 6, verse number 2, it says, a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus said in John 6 and 26, ye seek me because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Their focus was on the miracle. They were rejecting the message. The focus was on the loaves. They were rejecting the lessons. They asked in John chapter 6, what must we do that we might work the works of God? Read it carefully. It says there that he told them, and in verse number 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. As a matter of fact, you get in the next chapter, and they're trying to figure out how to kill him. Jesus did not commit himself. He knew what was in all men. Well, did Nicodemus get saved? I don't think so. I sure do hope I'm wrong. I hope he got saved. But he didn't. There's no indication in the Word of God that he got saved, except he was there trying to bring Jesus down off the cross, and they say, well, he must have been saved. No, there's a lot of people and a lot of cults and religious organizations today would do the same thing. Except ye receive him, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said that. Well, he is able to deliver thee. Listen to this message and song. It's a good one. He is able to deliver thee.
'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. Is the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver.